He starts sprinting. I grab my bag, and this lady looks so terrified. You know, she just went, oh, are you going to explode there, dude? Is basically what she said. I go, I'm already exploded, lady.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to After the Bell. I am still Corey Graves, and we are still barreling toward Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, Elimination Chamber a week from Saturday. So much to get to, Vic. We're on the road to WrestleMania. Forgive me for not giving you a clever intro, because there's so much to talk about, and we've got really, really good guests this week, so I'm going to keep my work limited at the beginning.
I'm so excited for Chad Gable and Otis, the Raw Tag Team Champions. I was just talking to you about them last week and how I see them both as huge players this year. Chad Gable specifically in a championship main event picture. I'm super excited for them to come on, but I'm also really jazzed up and jacked up about what's happening right now in the WWE, because this is the season you and I always talk about.
WrestleMania season, NXT Vengeance Day right around the corner. That keeps developing week after week as we approach. What stands out to you off the top of your head right now?
You know, this past Tuesday, I mean, Dolph Ziggler appearing. You see him every Monday. He, you know, they had the back and forth on social media. Now he works on Tuesdays as well. He's gunning for one title he's never had, at being the NXT Championship. But it'll be very interesting, because this Tuesday at Vengeance Day, it's Bron Breakker's first championship defense, and it's against Santos Escobar. You've spoken very highly of both those superstars. Bron Breakker on the show just a few weeks ago. I think it's going to be very interesting what Bron Breakker can bring to the table, because now he is the hunted. He is not the hunter.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure that is appointment viewing for me, Bron Breakker's first championship defense. If you look on the blue side of things, it's official. Rowdy Ronda Rousey made her choice, teased everybody that may have been Ronda versus Big Time Bex, but in fact, it will be the baddest woman on the planet, Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair, for the SmackDown Women's Championship on the grandest stage of them all. I mean, what more can you say? This doesn't need sold. We can't sell you on this. And listen, everybody on the internet has an opinion of Charlotte Flair. And you know why? Because Charlotte Flair's just that good. You know why Charlotte Flair's always in the title picture? Because it's hard, if not impossible, to find anyone who can have matches the caliber that Charlotte Flair routinely does. Does Charlotte Flair get under your skin? Good. That's her job. Charlotte Flair, I have no doubt in my mind, will rise to the occasion, a main event of WrestleMania versus Ronda Rousey, who has just knocked it out of the park each time Ronda stepped into a ring. I'm already excited about that. But I dare say, in the more immediate future, I might be even more excited about what awaits at Elimination Chamber, as we know for a fact we have the Women's Elimination Chamber match, which will dictate who faces the Raw Women's Champion at WrestleMania. But the Raw Women's title match that's going down in Jeddah, Lita versus Becky Lynch. When Lita took the microphone this past Monday, it captivated me. I was 16 years old again watching this, and the story that was told from Lita's perspective and Becky's, there was so much truth in why we are at this point. Becky was inspired by Lita. Lita was Becky's hero. And now you've got Becky Lynch tweeting out, "Never meet your heroes. You may have to put them down." Everything about this segment got me fired up. We saw Lita hit a picture perfect moonsault after 15 years. It's spectacular. You and I have talked at great length on this show about how there aren't many dream matches left. Right. This is one of them. Weeks after Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar, which we never thought we'd see. Now we have an intergenerational clash. Two of them, because we've got Goldberg versus Roman Reigns. Oh, by the way, Vic, I forgot to tell you, our guest next week right here on After the Bell, Goldberg.
Wow.
I called in a favor.
You call in a lot of favors.
I help a lot of people. What can I say?
You are a people pleaser.
I'm a man of the people, just not the people that I interact with in person.
Not on social media either. You've been definitely very good, by the way, on social media.
I'm getting better. It's a learning curve.
But you're 100% right on everything you said. And the one word that I want to throw out there when it comes to Lita and Becky Lynch, when it comes to Charlotte and Ronda Rousey, polarizing. All four on their own right are polarizing superstars or individuals if you take them out of the ring, which is why Charlotte Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania sells itself.
I agree with you. And I think that's a great assessment, because polarizing is a perfect word for all four of these women. Obviously, you've got Lita, who is almost unanimously beloved. She's a Hall of Famer with good reason. One of the greatest of all time. And I could say that without hesitation. Becky Lynch, arguably the greatest now. Maybe on a long enough timeline, we can honestly refer to her as the Van Goat. Ronda Rousey may be the most individually polarizing of any of these four women. And Charlotte Flair is right up there with Ronda for the same reasons. Why this? Why that? Because they earned it and people aren't going to do it better. But what's fun about both of these matchups right now is they're easy to root for. You just pick a lane and you stick with it. And it's not hard to find who you prefer. There's so often that there's shades of gray and you're like, oh, this guy is awesome. This guy's the bad guy, but he's so cool. I can't root against him. This is a fun one for fans, I think. Both of these matchups, you're either on Team Becky or Team Lita, or you're either on Team Ronda or Team Charlotte, or you're just excited for the spectacle that awaits. I think this is a really cool time for all these matchups.
And you have nothing to add to
the conversation.
Apparently I'm frozen.
Oh, Vic's on delay. Of course. This is what you get for hanging out in the middle of Ohio with your few days off.
All right.
Do they even have electricity there?
I'll just go, off here now. So can we just get to the guests at this point? Because I'm more excited about that than the way that this just derailed itself.
You and me both, Vic. Let's get to it without any further ado. They are the reigning Raw Tag Team Champions, Alpha Academy. Please welcome to After the Bell for the first time ever as reigning Raw Tag Team Champions, the Valedictorian, the Master, Chad Gable, and his number one guy, the Tree Trunk, Otis, the Alpha Academy. Guys, welcome to ATB.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having
us. Thank you, Mr. Graves.
Brother Doze, you're looking extra thick today.
Yes, sir. Just got done in the gym.
Jeez, oh man.
Well, listen, we've been clamoring to have you guys on, especially watching what you guys have done over the past several months. Vic on the show last week put the idea in our head. We need to get you guys on together. We've had you both individually. It's the first time as a team. But you guys have been a team off camera for a lot longer than most of the WWE universe knows. In the wake of you guys winning the Raw Tag Team titles, Gable, you sent out something on social media sort of discussing the past that you two have shared in your personal lives.
Sure.
That the WWE universe may not have been privy to. Speak more to that. What did that mean to both of you guys? Gable, you first, to kind of elaborate on what this relationship has meant to you guys in your lives.
Yeah, it's huge. Like I said, achieving dreams is like awesome in and of itself for anybody, of course, but doing it like with your best friend alongside him is like something that is hard to describe, really. And it goes back to our days at the Olympic Training Center. This is 2010, 2011. And even further than that, we realized recently that I coached against Otis in amateur wrestling matches. Like my brother was an amateur wrestler as well at heavyweight. So Otis would wrestle him and I would coach against Otis before I even really got to be friends with him and stuff like that. But then a couple years down the road, we were both living at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs, trying to make the Olympic team. And our love of professional wrestling kind of bonded us together in the summer of one of those years. And we spent a lot of days in what we called the man cave at the dorms at the OTC.
Oh, yes.
Watching pro wrestling in a dark room, taking our naps during the day to try to refresh for the next training session. But man, many, many hours spent there talking about what could be and the possibility of eventually, maybe making it ourselves and making something happen. And at that point, it was just really talking crap as a couple young kids. But before you know it, we're kind of on the path and doing the NXT thing. And all of a sudden it's like 10 years later, holy crap, we did it, man. It's wild.
Isn't it terrifying how fast 10 years goes?
Saying that is like, oh, it kills me, man. Thinking that 10 years goes that fast, especially having kids now. That's wild.
Doze, what about from your perspective? What has it meant to take this next step on your journey. And I'm going to focus on you first. Last time you were on the show, you were, I believe, fresh out of Heavy Machinery. You were the oldest, the fun-loving, stakes and weights, silly over-the-top character. And it brought you some success. But this is a completely different Otis. And I talk about it on commentary week after week, the metamorphosis that we have seen in you as a competitor, as a character on screen. How has Chad Gable helped you develop into who we see on Monday nights now?
When like we first got together and like started teaming, first of all, like talking about like, you kind of, it's kind of crazy. Like the first night we actually were on a backstage where I just got done wrestling a match. We walked in the back and the first time Gable talks to me, I just realized in my head, I was like, oh dude, for being really close, that's our first time on TV together. There was one time where we were Tim and Bobby in a tag team match, but that was like real quick. It was kind of a cold match, but this time it's like, we're starting to, you know, get our stuff in with the backstages and slowly building. And basically, you know, when Gable's mad, I know it. When I'm mad, he knows it. So we know when to, like, you know, if he wants to get me going, you know, in the backstage, and you know, he goes like, you know, think of this, think of that, you know, where it gets you mad or in the past. So we go into the ring there, you know, I'm thinking those things, and that helps me because I tried to be so, like, it's different now because I was trying to be likable before, and like now it's like, now I'm trying to get a little nastier, a little saltier when I go out there. So yeah, it is a completely different Otis. I'm having a great time though. I mean, really, like me and him, because we, you know, we spend probably 16 hours a day with each other every day on the road. I don't know the math on that, but like then we're neighbors. So I go, hey dad, I'll text him and go, hey dad, when are we training? Really, the night before. And he's like, oh, let me check their dues. Ah, the kids, the wife, gymnastics. What do you got going on? I got this, brother. I got a massage at 4, 10:30 then. 10:30, yeah, 10:30, let's do it. 10:30, you know, what's in butts. I'm always late by a couple of minutes just because the dogs have to always go outside before I got to go. But yeah, it's like legit just a big-time friendship, like even like close as family. Like, because I'll go there, I'll see the kids running around. I'll run, you know, like we haven't wrestled them yet because, again, they're scared of me.
Because you're a giant human being, Otis.
And when he says we know when each other's mad, that's very true. And if anyone happened to be at the if anyone listening to this happened to be at the Baltimore car rental about 3 months ago, you would have seen us both mad at the same time because we got in our first public argument in the middle of the car rental facility over something we don't need to go into. But you would see Chad Gable and Otis standing there in the middle of about 100. It was the busiest car rental I'd ever seen for reason that day.
As you're describing this, I'm envisioning Planes, Trains, and Automobiles
right now. Exactly. Yeah.
Where Steve Martin's just throwing the tickets and
And I've got the finger out, and he's got the finger out at me, and he's beat red. And everybody, there is 150 people just like, what is happening here? And he looks exactly like he looks right now, you know, and you can about imagine. But we settled down. We grabbed an Uber together. We got back to the hotel together. We worked it out.
I was picturing Doze, you with a cooler full of hard-boiled eggs, and Chad saying, absolutely not. You're not eating all those and getting in this rental car.
I do remember looking, because it was kind of like the intense conversation was happening. I turned to grab the handle because he goes, let's get the Uber. He starts sprinting. I grab my bag, and this lady looks so terrified. You know, she just went, oh. Like, are you going to explode there, dude? Is basically what she said. I go, I'm already exploded, lady. Oh.
I want to go off of, you know, what Graves asked Otis, but I want to come to Chad because, Chad, as much as you tried to help Otis find himself as a serious superstar.
Sure.
In the last few weeks, man, I said it last week, you have had this new aura about yourself that I have absolutely loved. And I have been sitting in awe every Monday of you two because it is so fun to watch. And it's unlike any Chad Gable we'd seen in the past.
Thank you. First of all, I appreciate that. And the fact that I'm finally getting a chance to show this and to do this is like the most rewarding and self-reassuring thing, because never in my life, really, until the last few years in this company, have I ever doubted myself. Like, there's something about this and what we do that sometimes you tend to doubt yourself, maybe. And I've never experienced that before. And I went through it, and coming out the other side and being able to show that I didn't need to do that. I needed to have confidence and maintain the confidence I always had is really nice. And it's kind of wild that it would just all began on a chance promo that we were given in Detroit. We got to open the show this night in Detroit right before New Year's, right after Christmas. It was like a 90-second walking promo that, you know, we'd never really gotten that chance before. And they kind of gave me free rein on it. Like, there was some stuff to talk about and we were addressing Randy and them, but, you know, it was kind of open-ended and I just ran with it. And I felt so comfortable playing this character and bringing this part out of me that I felt was in there for so long. And to be honest, like, some of this stuff goes back to NXT, and we had done a lot of, people know about these promo classes we would do in NXT and all these things. And some of this stuff I'm doing now, I mean, if you saw some of this stuff from 2014, 15 in NXT, you would see that coming and being applied here just in a new way to this Master Gable character.
Oh, I saw it.
So it's all, yeah. So like, it's always been there. It's just been, you know, navigating the waters and trying to wait for that right moment to try to apply it in the right way, you know. And it's just like, for whatever reason, and this is just how life works, I found so many times is the stars just aligned. You just keep plugging away, keep your head down. And it sounds so cliche, but like, and there has been some moments where, you know, I've whatever it means, wanted to throw in the towel, wanted to give up and say, I can't do it. It's not working. But seeing that through and getting through those moments is like what made this so rewarding, to look back on that and go, thank God you just stuck with it. Thank God you knew it was going to work out, you know. And I have Otis to thank a lot for that too, because he's helped give me the platform to play this character and to be this coach and this mentor to him and really bring that out of me. So it's been awesome.
How much is the fact that you guys are such good best friends in real life helped both of you? I mean, Chad, you just spoke to it briefly. Otis, you were doing what you were doing, the over-the-top, fun-loving, beloved character. Were there any reservations or hesitations for you when it became time to become serious Otis? And how much does Gable helped you develop what we see from you?
Again, we just heard, we heard like a rumor, and there was an idea one night to, you know, turn to the dark side, you know, go on top of the mountains. All right. So, and in my mind, I was like, I'm very comfortable. I guess I naturally just am. I'm a big I'm talking about myself like that, but it's like, I'm naturally, you know, happy guy. How you doing? Yeah, all this stuff.
We can be honest here. I mean, backstage, Otis is unanimously beloved because he's just a lighthearted dude. It's just you can walk into a room and lift everybody's spirits with a silly joke or a ridiculous comment or whatever. That's why I'm asking, because what we see on TV now on Monday Night Raw as part of the Alpha Academy is such a stark contrast to who you are when the red lights are off, so to speak. How has Gable assisted you in sort of really bringing that to the forefront?
Yeah, man, I would sit there and I remember Dazzle, it's his nickname, but Gable, he would be like, he goes, does that wasn't mean. And that wasn't mean enough. And I'm thinking like, I just exploded on him, gave him an elbow drop. And he goes, I know, dude, but your eyes look happy. I know you're having fun, but you got to like, and I'm like, oh, because exactly, I was being confident with like, hey, there be universe. How you doing? This and that. Now it's like, hey, I'm not with you guys anymore. I'm with him. All right. So yeah, shove it.
And I could speak to that a little bit. It's just in terms of the friendship and how that's helped, that is, you know, when you're this close or when you're that close with somebody and you're willing to confide in them things that you wouldn't to most people, he has confided in me so much of his personal life and everything, to the point that I've seen him speak about things and I see his emotions and his tone and his entire presentation change when he's discussing certain things. So it almost is like, I understand his triggers and what can make him act in these serious ways or these, and sometimes it's not serious. Sometimes it's like aggressive, and I can see the change in his eyes when he's discussing certain things or, you know, when things get brought up. And it's almost like getting him to access those things in order to become this man, this version of himself, you know, because it's in there and I see it when he discusses those things. So that's kind of part of it, I think, as well.
So there's a lot of truth to what we've been, the tales we've been telling of the transformation because of Master Gable. There is truth to that because you're
100%
in a oh, positive yeah. way, you are psychologically manipulating Otis
yeah.
to
yeah.
do your bidding.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
I know it doesn't oh, yeah. sound good when I put it like that, but yeah. it's, hey, let's reword the champs. It's working.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's definitely like he's like, I'll be like joking around and all that stuff. And then like, I'll say, oh, because you got me one time in the car. I was like, we were riding with Fergie or Finn Balor. And I was trying to tell, I told Finn, hey, when you get in the car, tell him that was a Carnage Crew workout. Cause I was like, that was my little nickname in backyard wrestling and a little bit in amateur wrestling. So then you get in the car and right away Fergal says it. I'm like, ready for a pop. Nope. He gets on me and I'm kind of like, what's your freaking problem? And like, he's like, I couldn't tell if he was serious.
Finn told me in advance what he was trying to do. So when he said that word, I lost it. Like, and I never lose it. You know, I usually maintain my composure and I just unloaded on him in the worst way. And I just, the look in his eyes, I couldn't even hold it in. Like, I felt so bad. And I wanted to I just broke immediately because I can't hold stuff like that. But yeah, he turned to me, what's your problem? It was like, could have been a very tense car ride if I hadn't broke.
It would have been me and Tucky. I hit a pothole and Tucky's so tall. He bangs his head on the thing. Completely not my fault. I didn't see the pothole turning to a gas station. And me and Tucky don't talk for 2 hours in this car ride. It's a 4 hour car ride. I'm just like, buddy, I'm sorry. It was one of those things where I'm like, it's gonna be that same thing there, boy. And like, then yeah.
Those, you mentioned Tucky, you obviously came to prominence as a member of Heavy Machinery. Gable, your first foray really in WWE back in the NXT days was as a member of American Alpha alongside Jason Jordan. And NXT, I think we would all agree, was a very different environment, particularly for tag team wrestling. You succeeded at the highest level in NXT, NXT Tag Team Champions. I believe the first time, first team to win twice. Was that accurate? I think I called that.
No, we won once and then we won the SmackDown titles just a few months later because we got called up very pretty quickly after that.
Right. But yeah. For the transition from NXT to SmackDown or Raw,
yeah.
There's if you pay attention to the buzz, the internet, and actually a lot of people would go on the record and say tag team wrestling in WWE has not been the focal point for quite some time.
Sure.
Yet here in a matter of weeks, you guys are the Raw Tag Team Champions. This past Monday, you opened Raw with the Quiz Bowl for basically a 20-minute segment yeah. to set up to another match. And granted, you're working with Randy Orton and Riddle.
Yes.
Talk to me about what it feels like and what it means to you guys to be the focal point and arguably, if not the hottest story on Monday nights, because it has been a long time since the tag team titles have been this prominent, particularly on Raw.
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, I think the craziest part about it is how things happen in WWE. It just, everything seems to happen out of nowhere. And yes. This more than anything for us was like out of nowhere. It just happened. And we were doing singles matches with Randy and Riddle, like back and forth, like we do sometimes here, and never really a proper tag match. And then I think they just saw the interaction and the perfect storm of these different characters. I think what's working so well for this program right now is that it's four perfectly defined characters that the audience knows who they're looking at. They know who they're listening to every time someone speaks. They're all so distinct and they all have their own personalities that just play together so perfectly, as opposed to two guys in the same tag team that are just like same mindset,
carbon copies of each other.
Yes, right? Exactly. And I think that when we see that on TV and the audience sees that, it's such a diverse, it's so good to look at because it's different. And maybe people have this idea in their head that tag teams, like official tag teams, need to be the same. They need to be, like you said, copies of each other. And tag team wrestling, some people think it's boring. Tag team wrestling at its highest form is like, it's an art form like no other. It's just so beautiful. You can tell a completely different and unique story than you can in any singles match. And I truly believe that. I learned that in NXT. It was like basically a a college education in tag team wrestling. You know what I mean? I got a degree in that, but from everybody that I learned from down there and the little intricacies that you can apply and do in tag team wrestling that just aren't possible in singles matches. And I think that that possibility and is what makes it so beautiful. And people are getting to see that now. They're getting to see this interaction of teams. And we've got other, like, so many good teams on the roster. Like, you just saw Street Profits are incredible. Those guys like, not only personality wise, but in ring, they're amazing. So the chance to mix it up and show the audience on Raw, you know, that like, maybe we're finally showing them tag team wrestling that can be the mainstay here and be a focal point for long term.
Yeah, there's a great dynamic between you two and I want to throw Orton and Riddle and everybody. And I started this off with Corey talking about how I have absolutely loved these segments. How rewarding is it to both of you to do these segments, hear the universe behind you, and also at the same time not crack a smile and like break in a matter of moments?
It's like, especially when like Gable has that cheesy ass face when he's saying something, that's hard for me. Because I'll like do the mean look around, like around the crowd, because again, like simple things, if you just look at them while they're reacting, they come higher. So when I turn, I have this serious mug on my face, but with the sad burns, I look at him and he has that smile and I almost cracked big time. It was the spelling bee. Cause again, I just said my word turned around and his smile brightened anyone's day. But I literally had to like kind of fight it off, sit down. But because you know, we've seen it before where, you know, sometimes they try, people go do a promo and the crowd's just kind of there like a fine line. It's very rewarding that they actually are getting mad at us or getting entertained. So it's really, for me, I know with Gable too, like, it's just awesome to, you know, get that feeling again of like, yes, because we're having fun. And usually when you see somebody having fun, you kind of have fun with them a little bit, unless you're some kind of Debbie Downer.
As far as keeping a straight face, I mean, I've broke many times. And a lot of times it has to do with Riddle because like...
It's hard to not break. Even when I'm talking at ringside, Riddle cracks me up all the time.
I can react mostly natural to him because most of the stuff he says is so dumb. I can just like, you know, that's so stupid. But he'll say the most random thing. Like, I think he told me... to like get my big, beautiful brain in the ring one night. And I had to cover my mouth and look away because I was about to lose it. And he's just like, but that's him in real life too, which is so cool. And I think that's what's making it work, man, is like everybody in that ring, you're getting a lot of their actual real personality and just, you know, with a little bit added in. So I think that's what's helping.
You guys both started out your WWE journeys, at least on screen, in sort of two polar opposite directions. You guys are both unbelievable amateur wrestlers and competitors. Obviously, we spoke to that. But Gable, you sort of relied on the Olympian. You're a technician in the ring. You're a wizard in the ring. I mean, there's nothing that Chad Gable can't accomplish from bell to bell. Doze, you have many of the same accolades, but you were, and I hate to use the word because it's got a negative connotation, a gimmick. On screen, you came out and you did the worm and you were the fun, jovial, you know, Chris Farley guy in the WWE universe. Two polar opposite ends of the spectrum. Now you guys are both closer to center. You guys are both in the middle where we're getting to find out that Otis is in fact credible. Gable, I want to ask you, you finally find yourself in this role. Was there like an aha moment or a light bulb moment where you went, oh, okay, I need to be this Chad Gable because just super credible amateur Olympian wrestler isn't getting me anywhere.
Yes. And like when I talk about the stars aligning, it was probably October of this year. Okay. So me and Otis had already been together for the better part of this whole past year. And the whole idea here of putting us together and us teaming up was that I could get him to be a little more serious. I could bring him, elevate him a little bit in that tone and get him away from this old character. The whole time, not really thinking, well, how can he do the same for me and kind of bring out my personality and maybe we can mutually benefit from this relationship as a team. And it just wasn't happening. We were stagnating for so long, even though we wanted to. It's not like we don't want to flourish. Everybody does. But it just so happened that I had gone back to school through the, I decided to use the pandemic and some of the extra free time to go back to school and get my master's degree. And so I finished that up in October, and I would mention it in some backstage promos and interactions, but nothing serious. You know, and it was just like dropped in here and there, but I started thinking in my more downtime between then and the middle of November, end of November, like this can work, like this can be applied to the character I'm already doing with Otis to bring him up. And I don't need to do it in a way that's just like genius. Like, I don't know, like over the top, everything doesn't have to be, oh, now I'm so smart. I'm the smartest guy. It can just be part of who I already wanted to be and who I was in the past.
Right.
And welded together.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You took a facet of real life and inserted it into a character rather than trying to make a character based on just a portion of your life.
Exactly. And I think melding that, like, or welding that together, like the Olympian thing with the education thing and the guy that's holier than thou, having these accomplishments. And Graves, you know, because you were there in NXT when I was doing this list of achievements thing, and I was like, I had this long scroll of a list that I would roll out. I was like, man, it's almost like come full circle to that, but I've got these new accolades I can add to it that are legit. And people hate hearing someone talk about how smart they are, especially if it's true. And they hate being told that they're wrong or that they're dumb or less than this person. And I spent all this time agonizing and sleepless nights trying to come up with these like genius ideas and all this creative stuff. And it's like, it ended up being pretty simple. You know, it's like, it was already there. You just have to kind of uncover it.
I was talking to Vic before we started recording. I said, I need to get Gable to bring up the list.
Yeah.
I remember vividly, we even got it on NXT TV quite a few times where I was able to rattle off a few of them. It's been a few years, so I'm going to publicly plea with you to email me an updated copy of the list of accolades, because I think the Monday Night Raw audience needs to know.
They would enjoy that, yeah.
and while we're at it, let's start compiling one for Doze, too.
Sure.
Mine's only this big.
It doesn't matter.
Only a few inches?
I'm dead serious, man.
2 inches, baby.
Back to the inches.
Oh, yeah, but I definitely need an updated list.
We'll get that.
Of accomplishments of both members of the Alpha Academy, because I definitely think that's gold, man. It's
awesome.
Just one of those fun, organic things. I'm on page things. 2.
You know, I would be wrong not to ask both of you a question when it comes to your amateur background. We have two superstars that are in NXT that have legitimate amateur backgrounds as well, Brutus and Julius. What are your guys' thoughts on the Creed brothers, part of Diamond Mine?
Those, I mean, look, yeah, they're like, right, when I come to the PC, like, they're always on time, they're always, you know, intense, but like, you know, lovable guys. They get in the ring, they're showing that intensity. I mean, they're slapping each other. I mean, what's more intense than that? And getting a little physical with your own partner and slap them. I'm gonna go in the ring and slap Dazzle right across the face.
Well,
and slap me, and we'll do that whole thing.
Yeah.
But no, you won't. I'm just saying, it's like, yeah, man, studs, man. They got the wrestling shoes on. They got the singlets, man. Like, and you know, they're with Big Rod, Roddy, you know, and it's just like those guys could be a force to be reckoned with pretty darn soon, baby.
It's cool to see them have so much success. I feel like pretty quickly reaching the finals of the Dusty is a huge deal. There's a little bit of professional jealousy there because me and Jason failed to do that. We lost in the semifinals.
We lost in the first,
but it's awesome to see that. And they're great. They have come up with a real, like, unique set of offense and ways to apply amateur wrestling. Like, we all try to do that, but they're doing a few different things that I've noticed that I've just never seen amateur wrestlers do before. So that's cool. And I used to, in my younger days at the training center and before that, I was a part of an amateur wrestling shoe trading community on Flickr. Everybody would post pictures of their rare wrestling shoes and trade them and buy them off each other or anything. And I think me and Julius there used to swap old Adidas Combat Speeds quite often. He might have a pair of my old shoes, but
what a shoe.
I think I've got him beat in the wrestling collection, shoe collection category, but
that
he
might
wants
be
to throw down. We can
the strangest subculture I've ever heard. I mean, yeah, I have a hard enough time wrapping my head around sneakerheads who want to buy Jordans and things.
Yeah,
but you guys, that's actually a thing in the amateur world.
There's a culture for everything. Yeah.
I mean, trading singlets. Like, oh yeah.
I used to.
What the? That's quite the fetish, fellas.
We wrestled at We wrestled at the Fargo Dome 2 weeks ago at a live event. And I had pointed out to Finn Balor, because he was riding with us, there's a little underpass on the Fargo Dome where we used to have our national tournament. That's where national championships used to be. But I spent about 3 days in total, like over the course of my career, hours wise, underneath this little overpass where we would all just walk around with our singlets hanging off our arms. You'd have 30, 40 singlets, and everybody would go through, you'd browse them, you'd trade, you'd swap, you'd buy. And now I have, like, right in this closet right next to me, about 200 different singlets from all over the country, the world, different countries, wrestling jackets, warm-ups, the shoes, everything. There's a whole subculture. There's a subculture for everything, Graves.
But are these signed by like the amateurs that were competing in them, or are they just there raw?
I think it's just for that, how cool they look too. Like, because the different states, I'm talking like state wise and nationals, like Wisconsin would have like a certain like Lambeau Field on the singlet.
Oh,
they
okay.
have like a Badger style. Yeah. So like they would like, I remember Washington did the Bigfoot. And I say, hey, brother, what size is your singlet? He goes, 2X. I go, mind if I try it on real quick? Because I don't think it's going to fit. You put it on. It looks so cool though, but it's looking a little tight around my belly. Yeah, I don't know. So I couldn't buy that one, but or trade it. But yeah, it's basically like the different countries have badass singlets, man. Like they just look cool. They don't look cool on me, but look cool on Basil.
Yeah. that's really wild. That's totally interesting. I've never knew of anything like that. That's really crazy.
Did not think that this would come up in conversation today on this podcast in this very moment.
The inches and the looks and
The inches that go in the singlets that you trade into other men. Yeah.
When you guys look across the landscape, obviously you have your hands full at the moment with RK-Bro. They've earned a future tag title opportunity via victory in the Academic Challenge. And I need to apologize on the record. I read a graphic this past Monday where I referred to Riddle as one half of the Raw Tag Team Champions because I talk for 3 hours at a time. And
sure, I
need to apologize directly to the champions.
You're forgiven. I know how those days go.
When you look across the landscape, let's say you do make it past RK-Bro, who else is Alpha Academy excited to mix it up with?
So we've had a little bit of history with the Street Profits on SmackDown and then a little bit here on Raw, but nothing substantial. And what I mean by that is we haven't really dove into what I think kind of stories we could tell with each other. And the cool thing about tag team wrestling is I think the stories themselves, like I talked about different characters and stuff, lend themselves so much more. There's so much more to explore. And the Street Profits in and of themselves are these crazy characters. They're awesome. Their personalities are wild and like they have their own backgrounds and there's so much to explore there that I think we have only just touched the surface with them as far as wrestling goes. Like you can have matches with no meaning, you know, every once in a while, but to explore it deeper and come in with a real story with them, I think we could really like do some great work with those guys.
I'm like Montez Ford is like number one fan. I love that guy.
I'll fight you for that one.
Dude, he is down to do anything. And you're like, it's, you know, legit. Like he just goes, come on, big nose. We'll do this. And like one time I got Tucky had a baby. There's the first baby back in NXT. And Steve Carino calls me and he goes, can you be in this tag match with Montez Ford? I go, am I his partner? He goes, yeah, this is back with old Otis. You know, baby, I'm all over it. Where are we going, baby? And that match, like, I almost hurt my knee because we were dancing so much that the board came up and I hyperextended the hell out of my knee. But what a night of fun there was. So even working against him or working with him is both just as fun, man. It's like a day off.
I don't know if the WWE Universe could handle Otis and Montez on the same team. I think opposite sides of the ring is good. It's a yin yang situation, but all that on one side, I just think that's game over. That's probably not healthy.
Those three people, they loved it.
And on a personal note, like I think about teams like the Dirty Dogs and even like, I have former tag team, like everybody knows, I've been in a bunch of tag teams. So like Bobby Roode's on Raw in a tag team. Shelton's on Raw and he does stuff with Cedric sometimes. And they're both former tag team partners of mine and that we kind of both split, but never addressed anything. There's no reason. There was no follow-up, no nothing. So there's built-in stories already with tag teams that already exist and characters on our brand that we could use. And I mean, any one of those guys, they're all just top of the line, like technically, professionally, everything. So we could, I mean, honestly, there's teams all over on Raw that we could tear it up with.
I'll take Big Bob, Daz.
There you go.
I'm looking at my screen and Vic is just grinning like a child right now. He's added absolutely nothing to the interview.
So
thanks for nothing, Vic.
Entertaining to
I'm
me.
I'm having a great time.
I can't stop looking at Doz through this thing, and I'm looking at
it fills again, the frame well.
The way we do these is obviously we're on screens, and I'm looking at Gable, and he's got a fireplace. It's really nice. Nice desk, leather chair. You know, I look at Doz, and Doz has a cooler behind him, and it's like these two are everything that I love on Monday Night Raw. I mean,
you're getting
it's hands down,
it's
great.
What you're getting, yeah.
It's so good. And my other half hates it because I'll go, hey, can you get me chips? And she'll bring them and I'll go, thank you. And she'll go, you have to stop. I haven't shushed her yet, though. I probably won't do that.
Yeah, you better be careful with that one.
So you confirmed my suspicions on Monday when you referenced Biodome.
Yeah.
Shush was indeed a Pauly Shore-ism.
Yeah.
That was Encino Man, right?
Shush. Yeah, Shush was Encino Man.
Yes.
What's your favorite Pauly Shore movie?
That's such a hard question. I love them. So Son-in-Law is my favorite.
Yes.
And that's for personal reasons because it's like my family and I kind of made it a tradition to watch that on Thanksgiving. So it's kind of got a homey feel to me too. It reminds me of my family. But I do think it's the best one of them all. Also, he's so good in that movie.
Does Doz sort of give you the same vibes as the guy who moved the seat back a little too far?
he likes to drive with his legs in a squat. And I know why. He wants to get a little leg burn. Like, I'm going to have that seat all the way back, legs straight. I'm good, baby. Daz is so intense. He's just driving like this.
Does Goofy movie count for Pauly Shore, by the way? This is a serious question.
I don't know if I count that. No. And here's one more Pauly Shore. Sorry, I won't count that, but I will have one Pauly Shore fact that I bet most people don't know. And he's in a movie called The Curse of the Inferno. I don't know if you've seen that or not. Mm-mm. But his name in the movie is Chuck Betts. So for those that know what that might mean to me, that is pretty significant to me.
Interesting. A quick Google search will confirm exactly what. I wonder if I were to Google that, if that comes up first.
That'll be my project right when we hop off here. I just remembered that. I used to rent. My grandma would always take me to the movie store, like walk to the movie store, and I would rent Pauly Shore movies every single time, no matter what. And The Curse of the Inferno popped up one day. It was like his new movie or whatever. And I remember watching it with my grandpa, who also has that name. And he said that on TV. He says his name in the movie or through a door or something like that. And my grandpa's eyes just got like this big, and so did mine. It's like, said our name. We're like, awesome.
Do you share Otis's affinity for the horror genre?
I am into it, but not nearly at the level that he is. He's got me beat there.
Well, Doz is currently wearing a Friday the 13th shirt. Now, I know confidently that there are two people at all times in WWE that if I want to strike up a conversation, I can just rely on horror, whatever that may be. And Otis, you are certainly one of them. I know we discussed it briefly. You were excited to see Scream recently. I don't know that I got your opinion on it.
Oh, I'd love that.
I was scared to ask you, Grace, your opinion, because we had two different opinions on Halloween. I was all excited to talk to you about it, and you just cut me off. You're like, no, I didn't like it. No, like we saw Loomis, that was cool, but no. I'm sitting going like, I just shut my vibe down. Okay, we'll go to the next guy. So when I asked you, we're doing the little maestro haircuts, trimming our bodies inch by inch. I would go, hey man, did you see Scream yet? You actually were like, you perked up. You're like, no, I haven't. Did you see it? I go, I did, but I'm waiting for your opinion on it. But dude, great stuff, man. I mean, I think Ghostface is the bump king in horror because, you know, Jason, Michael, they can't sell anything. They got to be nice and tough. And like, it was, you know, there was one thing, like, I don't want to ruin the movie, but like, there's a girl that plays a heel in another movie. And I immediately said, she's got to be a bad guy. She's got to be one of the stabbers. There's no way. And but yes, totally loved it. Pure gore, all that stuff. You know what I mean? Like people that went to go see it only saw a scary movie. And some of the people I was watching in the theater with, they go, that was very gory. I go, it's a slasher movie, guys.
Graves, have you seen it?
It was gory.
I did not see the new Scream yet. I have been outrageously busy for the past several weeks. It is on my list of things to do. I did, however, watch Nightmare Alley the other night. Have you seen that yet? Guillermo del Toro, who made the Shape of Water and all the Hellboys, renowned horror director, as I'm sure you know. It's Bradley Cooper, and it's all set in like the carnival. It's really, really dark and weird. Apparently, it's a remake of a classic, but it's Guillermo del Toro. It's worth it. The atmosphere is wild. It's about 2.5 hours long, but it's worth a watch. Oh, it's very, very strange. Kind of shows you the depths that people... It's almost like Nightmare psychological Alley? Horror. Nightmare Alley, yeah. It's on Hulu, I think. I watched it the other day.
I'm excited for the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Dozy, speaking of Bradley Cooper, you ever see...
Good thing you jumped in here, because otherwise it's going to turn into
Dozy. I'm going to get right off of this real quick. You ever see Midnight Meat Train?
Or have.
Oh, yeah.
That's terrible. And you know what, Graves? Scream is terrible. I hate to say it.
Whoa. You know what, Vic?
It was terrible.
Voted off the podcast. I think I'm going to use this platform to get Doze and I a horror podcast. I'm going to call my friends and Bloody Disgusting. Yeah. Let's do it. We'll go into business for ourselves.
Yes, we're in the grave by Grease and Doze or something like that.
Just a grave. You already branded it. Perfect.
There it is. Guys, we're on the road to WrestleMania. Obviously, Elimination Chamber right around the corner. RK-Bro awaits. Best case scenario, just hypothetically, if Doze and Gable can roll into the most stupendous two-night WrestleMania in history, what's it look like?
I think, to me, it looks like giving them their tag team title rematch at WrestleMania for me. Because as it is with any superstar in WWE, your goal is to have that moment on WrestleMania, to get your match. I've never come close to that. Not only have I not come close, there's been years where I just haven't even been on. And that was last year. That was the year before. And there's almost nothing more, you know, frustrating or debilitating than peaking, because I still treat it like I would a big amateur wrestling tournament. Like WrestleMania is our end of the year. It's our big one. So I'll get myself ready. I'll get in better shape. I mentally prepare better just because it's our big event. And to do all that work every year and not have it pay off or not feel like it paid off is so frustrating. And it's almost like a mission this year to make it happen. More than ever. And I think Doze feels the same way.
It's crazy to think that we've been in the Andre the Giant Battle Royals, but it's crazy to think Tampa before the pandemic, we're going to be in Tampa, and with me, that kiss with Mandy would have been in front of a lot of the people, you know, and I'm very guaranteed that that would have been a ridiculous reaction. But you do it in the warehouse. The vibe isn't the same. It's WrestleMania. It was very special to me because it was my first match and Dolph's first singles match at WrestleMania, I believe, singles match. And it was like, that was cool. It was cool. We did it. It was a great reaction on the internet. But like, we haven't got that feeling yet. I keep everyone telling us, or telling me specifically, that feeling of like when that crowd's hot and you're like in the middle of the ring and like, you're trying to make Shakespeare magic, baby. Like there's no better feeling than that, obviously. But like at WrestleMania hasn't been for either of us. So we want to go there and perform our asses off. And like, honestly, that's the mission, baby. Get us on it.
Beautiful. Well, guys, we here at ATB fully support your WrestleMania journey, your road there. And I'm having a hell of a lot of fun on Monday nights. Each time you guys are on my screen or in the ring in front of me, keep doing what you're doing. Thank you so much for your time. Good luck to the Alpha Academy. And Gable, I mean it with 100% certainty. Get me the damn updated list.
Okay. I'm working on it.
I'm making it happen because I have, you know, 3 hours to fill it. If I have a few little factoids, whether you're on screen or not, just to let the world know what the
Just three hours? I could put a list together. It'll get you through 3 weeks of that. So mine's that long. All right. I promise you.
I hope Jimmy and Byron are ready to carry the load because I'm just I'm just going to read Alpha Academy facts from now until WrestleMania.
Perfect. So,
all right, guys. I appreciate the time. You're always welcome. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Graves.
Vic, is it safe to say you're going to get into the underground singlet trading game?
Absolutely not. That was even weird for me. Gotta be honest.
I don't think it's weird, but I gotta be honest. I have a morbid curiosity to see what you would look like in one of Doze's singlets.
Probably like McLovin.
I'm gonna strike that thought from my brain permanently. And hopefully you will need to do the same, which you can do so by following us at After the Bell WWE on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find me at WWE Graves. You can find him at Vic Joseph WWE. Listen for free on Spotify. Just search After the Bell and hit the follow button so you never miss an episode. We will be back next week with more wisdom, more vitriol, Goldberg, and more WWE after the bell.
After the bell.
I do it better.